those that are visiting with us. I enjoy this sermon and song service, and these song leaders make it possible. In fact, all of you make it possible as we join in together to sing praise unto God and teach and admonish one another through those hymns. Each one of the songs that we sing has a message in it. We're singing words, praise unto God, and edifying one another. As I put the theme on the board, our theme for tonight is the cross of Christ. And we'll continue, Lord willing, to have these at least through the month of December and close out our year with a sermon and song, and may at some point in the future pick this back up again. But I've really enjoyed this series that we've been looking at, this sermon and song series. So I encourage you to get your song books out. Turn to these songs even before we get to them, as we get to them, so we're ready to sing them at a moment's notice. All of them are posted on the board with the exception of the last one, At the Cross, 157, which is a song of invitation that Ray will lead for us. I would have put that on the board, but we ran out of ones. And so that one had to be left off. I encourage you to get your Bible out and follow along with us and make sure that what we're saying comes from the Word of God. Mark pointed out Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 in the Bible class this morning, where the Bible says that it's by the grace of God through faith that we are saved. Not of our own works or works by which we could boast, but by the grace of God. One of the sermons I love to preach along the way are some amazing things about the amazing grace of God. And so we're going to begin our series tonight by talking about, briefly, the amazing grace that's been bestowed upon mankind. You know, God's grace has been demonstrated to everybody. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 talks about that and makes that point for us in no uncertain terms when he says, as Paul is writing by inspiration to Titus, and he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared not to some, not to a few, but to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 10, Paul pens here, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." Can you relate to that? "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Now, Paul recalled who he used to be. And he talked about that before, like in the book of Galatians, when he talked about the fact that he had persecuted, tried to destroy the church. And yet God demonstrated His grace, and it was extended to even someone like Paul. And so Paul could say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." I like to make personal application of that to myself, that, you know, God's grace, though demonstrated to all mankind, though demonstrated toward Donnie Oliver, could be in vain so far as my life is concerned if I don't do what God would have me to be doing. But Paul says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And so I love this hymn, "Amazing Grace." Let's sing together. mention of the fact before that there are so many things that you read about in the Bible that as we read it, we find ourselves saying, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen that in person. I wish I could have heard that with my own ears. I wish I could have went to that particular place and witnessed that event with my own eyes. You know, by the eye of faith, we can see all of those things. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that you're very familiar with, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Thomas told the disciples in, it's recorded in John the 20th chapter, that except I see him with my own eyes and so forth. Remember that? Except I feel the print, I'm not going to believe. And then he had an occasion to see the Lord. And he said, my Lord and my God. John chapter 20 and in verse 28. But then Jesus saith unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And then in verses 30 and 31, the purpose of John's writing and many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Then in John chapter 17 and in verse 20, the Lord prayed, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. No, we didn't see all the Bible events with our fleshly eyes. We didn't hear with our ears because we wasn't present then. But these things are written that we might believe those things. And so this next song, as we focus on things of which we have never seen and yet we believe it, has a beautiful message. We saw thee not, but yet we believe. Let's sing together.
Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we lead thy footsteps strong.
talking to people tonight who believe though you've never seen. Me too. Me too. In Luke chapter 24, after Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, there were two men who were going to Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 13. And as they was making their journey, the Lord appeared to them. Of course, initially they didn't know that it was Jesus. But they were sad, and the Lord asked them, why are you sad? What about this conversation, this communication that you're having? They said, don't you know what's been done? Verse 20, how the chief priests and our own rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now later on, they constrained him to be with them, and he wasn't. Their eyes were open, and he expounded the scriptures unto them. Later, their eyes were open, and they realized that it was Jesus, and he vanished out of their sight. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Wouldn't you have liked to have seen the look on their face when they realized that the man who was making this trip with them and was with them for a certain length of time, I don't know how long, was the Lord Himself. Folks, Jesus is our Redeemer. The Bible teaches over and over that we have been redeemed. Not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 talks about it. It's only through the blood of Christ that we have the forgiveness of our sins. Our redemption was made possible by His shed blood. To be redeemed has the idea of being purchased back, and we are purchased with the blood of Christ. The church is a blood-bought institution. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28. So let's sing together about our blessed Redeemer.
Number 107, Blessed Redeemer. We'll sing the first and third verse.
Of Calvary's mountain, wonderful born, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, dead on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, see
for our blessed Redeemer. Without Jesus, we'd have no hope. I mentioned that to us in the sermon this morning. It bears repeating that He's our hope. He's our Redeemer. And we ought to be thankful for what He did for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where our scripture reading came from tonight, Paul writing to the Corinthians, the Christians at Corinth, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We have an inspired account of their conversion in Acts the 18th chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, You know, there's people today who would say, listen, I don't want to hear that message. That's just foolishness. And Paul says that to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're getting ready to sing, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. I'm telling you that this message is a message unlike any other message. And the message contained in the gospel, the New Testament, will do for our lives what no other message is capable of doing. In fact, only the gospel will get us from earth to heaven when this earthly pilgrimage is over. The way of the cross has led home since the beginning, and it will continue to do so. Let's think about that as we sing The Way of the Cross.
Please go home by the way.
It's a message like none other. And since they began on the day of Pentecost to preach it, it still has the same effect today when we obey it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we have the assurance of Scripture that God cares for us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now the Bible talks about what Jesus went through. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This next song has the idea of the fact that God cares for us. That Jesus cares for us. Kneel at the cross. A beautiful song. Let's sing.
Kneel at the cross. Live.
In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we're reminded of the purpose as to why we meet together on the Lord's Day to observe the Lord's Supper. Paul says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." I want you to think about the central theme of the Bible. Salvation in Christ. And all things in the Old Testament pointed toward the time when the Savior of the world would come and give Himself a ransom, as we'll sing about in just a moment. And then everything beyond that event, that focal event of Jesus dying on the cross, points back to the cross. And so every Lord's Day, our minds are taken back to the death of Christ on the cross. In Mark chapter 10, notice what the Lord Himself said. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Lead me to Calvary. It needs to ever be on our mind what took place on the rugged cross years ago, so long ago, on Calvary, as Jesus shed His blood so that our sins could be remitted. Let's sing together, "Lead Me to Calvary."
King of my life,
let Thy glory be. Let Thy glory be.
We're not going to forget, right? Lest I forget. And so we'll continue to remember the Lord's death each and every Lord's Day. And throughout the week, we'll think about what the Lord has done for us. This is another one of those events that we didn't get to see. But again, the Scriptures talk to us about the death of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible informs us that Jesus tasted death for every man. Everybody. Doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your tone of your skin. Doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how much you have or how much you don't. Doesn't matter how sick you are, how healthy you are. Doesn't matter what you do as way of occupation, or even if you don't have a job, not able to work. Jesus tasted death for every man. And Paul, writing to Timothy, stated in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15 that this is a worthy saying, a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Oh, Father, let us see His death. Let's sing.
Number 567, Oh Father, let us see His death.
Oh Father, bless this solemn day when we ascend.
Not died, we had not had the forgiveness for our sins or any of the other spiritual blessings that the Bible makes mention of. In fact, had not died and buried and rose from the dead, we would never be saved. Baptism only saves by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The old rugged cross. I couldn't even possibly begin to fathom what Jesus went through. The agony, the shame that He went through so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and in verse 14, the Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 16, Paul penned that he might reconcile both, that is both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. If I were to ask you tonight, what does the cross of Christ mean to you? How would you respond to that? Is it important to you? Does it mean a lot to you? Does it mean a lot to me? The old rugged cross. Let's sing together.
Number 578, second and third verse.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Suffering and shame, and I was
There's times probably in the life of every Christian where they feel like that they're not being as faithful as they should. They struggle, weak, tired. We need to be reminded, and remind ourselves and remind one another how important it is to ever be near the cross. I tell you, the devil's out to get each and every one of us. 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant, watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the reality is that the harder we try to do God's will, the harder the devil is going to try to divert our attention from what we're doing, to get us to not see any value in what we're doing, to get us to think that it's all for no use. But we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 15:58 that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in Christ. It's only the message of the cross. It's only by His blood. It's only by the things that we sing about tonight. He's our Savior, the Lamb of God, spotless, sinless, reigning as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Bible talks about Him. Acts 2:36 and other passages. In Revelation 22, verse 17, as we may mention earlier, that Jesus tasted death for every man, listen to this great Bible invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, Let him take of the water of life freely. Let's sing together about near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious mountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
I know that you've read Isaiah chapter 53. In fact, in one of our conversion accounts, in Acts the 8th chapter, we're told of a man who is reading from that very scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. We sing about what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us, about the cross. All the things that are attached with that. And notice, if you will, Isaiah 53, begin with verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put on him, or put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. I hope that when we read Isaiah chapter 53, that we can see ourselves in that chapter. That Jesus died for all. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. None of us are deserving, as Mark pointed out in the Bible class, very simply and plainly. We didn't merit that. We don't deserve that. But because God loves us, He sent His Son, made provision for our salvation. And Jesus could then say, suspended between heaven and earth on the rugged cross of Calvary, it is finished. John 19, verse 30. But perhaps you're in this audience this evening, having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You have an opportunity to do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and 10, verse 38. Maybe you've done that, but you've fallen away. You've not been faithful as you should, but you want to be restored. God will forgive us if we'll repent, make confession unto Him. We'll pray with Him for you. Don't delay. Come right now.